Our scripture lesson today is from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. There he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to share? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran up and he put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to say thanks to Karen for helping me this morning. And most of you don't know, but Karen's going to preach the contemporary. I came back from annual conference the other day with my sinuses driving me nuts and my throat getting sore. I told Sherry yesterday I would like it for one time to speak and not have a sore throat or a scratchy throat, but it seems like that's always in the cards. But I want to thank Karen. And also, Sarah's not introduced, who's really not a guest, but Beverly Kerr is here playing this morning. And Beverly's been here before, and if you enjoy Beverly, give her a round of applause. She is very good. Sarah told me before the service that to read my bulletin, which I hadn't, and to pay attention that there would not be any anthem or special music. And I asked her to do something, and she said, "Well, that's old. We did that 25 years ago." So I'm telling on you, Sarah. Can't help it, but it's a cross song, and it's very good. I tried to get them to do it this morning, but they politely turned me down. But let us bow in prayer. O Lord our God, I pray that as we gather here this morning, that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When preparing for today and trying to come up with a scripture, I always look at the lectionary. And I know most of you have been told over the last year or so what the lectionary is. It's set up on 3 years, and at the end of 3 years, if it's preached every Sunday, you've covered most of the Bible. And I've learned over the years to try to preach from the lectionary. I always do not like the lectionary scriptures for the day, which I didn't this time. So in thinking about what I was going to talk about, and a scripture kept rolling around in my head, the one that Karen read for today, I thought it was appropriate for this day, since this is a day when we honor our fathers. Parables. Jesus tells us a parable. How many of you enjoy parables? Raise your hand. I like them. A parable is defined as a simple story to tell a moral truth. Jesus is showing that his love is like that of God. The parable illustrates God's attitude toward a sinner, not only after repentance, but even before. The Father has been said in this story, this has been called all kinds of things. The prodigal son, the prodigal father. I started to talk about the prodigal father. It's been called everything. And there's been all kinds of sermon titles you can only imagine. There's a lot of them. The father in our text for today, or in our scripture for today, is probably a well-to-do Palestinian farmer and father. And this father had two sons. And the younger son is probably, I've read, in his middle 20s. And he asked his father to give him his share of the estate. He insisted on it. He didn't ask. He insisted. He wanted his part of the estate. In most cases, this would be received at a father's death. And if you think about it, that's kind of how it is now. You usually don't get inheritance and stuff till people pass on. By law back then, the oldest son was entitled, and I did not know this, the oldest son was entitled to 2/3 of the estate, while the other third was split among ever how many other siblings there was. So some siblings would not get near as much. And this son wanted his share. So the father, in good conscience, did it. He went and gave him his share. A few days later, in verse 13, the son packs up his stuff, all he had, and he traveled, it says, to a distant country or a distant land, and he squandered all he had on dissolute living. He lived the life of wine, women, and song. He lived it up. And he probably always wanted to do that. But eventually, he hits rock bottom. His money dries up. And to make matters worse, a famine hits the country. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to the fields to feed his pigs. To a Jew, the pig was unclean and an animal to be avoided. To land a job as a swine herd was the lowest of the low and was considered an immoral occupation. The youngest son was so hungry. Verse 16 tells us he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating. He was so hungry. Now, I can't imagine being that hungry, because you can look at me and tell I've not missed many meals. And we say all the time, I'm hungry, I'm starved. But are we really starved? We're not. I saw images on the screen at annual conference, as did our other lay members this week, of children in other countries. We are very blessed, folks. we're not starving. We may not have everything we want or need, but we're not starving. He would have gladly filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything to eat. Can you imagine? If I ask Harold for something to eat, he's probably going to give it to me. If I ask any of you for something to eat, you're probably going to give it to me. But nobody even offered or gave him anything to eat, and he was starving. So he didn't feel like he had a choice. So what's he do? He decides he's going to go eat the pods the pigs were eating. The pods on which the swine fed were the fruit from the carob tree. It's often called, and I didn't know this, St. John's bread. The tree is found all over the Mediterranean area. Its fruit was used for animal feed, though humans could eat it and did eat it. When he came to himself in verse 17, that means when he woke up and said, "Oh, my Lord, what have I done? I've messed up. I made a mistake. I'm hungry." He repented and his attitude changed. He admitted he was wrong and he was determined to do something about it and try to set things right with his father. And he said to himself, "How many of my father's hired hands have enough to eat and left over, but here I am dying of hunger." And in verse 18 and 19, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. I got to ask you this question, and I want you to think about this. Have you ever been in trouble with your parents, and you were going to go talk to them about something you'd done, and have you ever rehearsed what you were going to say in your mind? Have you ever done that? Anybody, raise your hand. Come on, folks, be honest. There's more than just the ones that are raising their hands. We rehearse in our mind what we're going to say because we want it to flow smoothly and we want them to make us feel better. Am I not correct? And that's what he was going to do. And that's what we try to do. We're going to rehearse and we're going to go to our parents and we're going to try to get ourselves out of trouble. He is sorry for what he has done. He's sorry for what he had lost. But he's sorry for sinning against God and his earthly father. And he says, he'll say to his father, "I have sinned against heaven and earth and before you. I'm not worthy anymore to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands." So he set off and he decided to go back to his father. But while he was still a ways off, his father saw him. And his father was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Have you ever had an earthly parent, your father or your mother, do you like that? When you had just messed up and you were on your way back home. I know a person real well that was struggling with a marriage. They knew that the marriage was coming to an end. They didn't say a whole lot about it to a lot of friends. I knew about it. But they didn't say a whole lot about it to their parents. You know, they were asked questions, but they gave very few answers. This person went and consulted a close friend who was a professional in marriage issues, and he suggested some things that might help. But the situation did not improve. And the friend told him, "When time runs out, you'll know it, and you have to do what you have to do." So time ran out, and it happened. And that person had to gather some things and find a place to stay for the night. And called their parents home and talked to their parents and told them they were coming home. And as they turned in that driveway at the home, this person saw their dad standing behind the storm door waiting, looking out. And when they got to the front porch, opened the door, and put their arms around him and began to cry, the father did. That person was me. That person was me. And my father welcomed me home. This is my father in earlier years. I don't think I can deny that I'm his child. You think I can deny it? Now, I'm going to show you a couple of his favorite things, and there's a couple of people here, Ray Harrell and Roy Drennan and Void Keck, if he were here, and Marty Talent. I'm going to show you a couple of my dad's favorite things to do. Number one, next slide. This was his favorite thing, one of his favorite things to do. Sit in a recliner, watch TV. Here's his next favorite thing to do. Blasting out of a sand trap in a city men's golf tournament. Now, today's a tough day because every year from the time I was old enough to do it, our Father's Day thing with our dad, my brother and I, was playing golf with our dad. And that was a big thing. And it's been 19 years this year. So, and I know how some of you are sitting there today feeling the same pain that we all that have lost our fathers feel this day. But my dad was there that night, and he welcomed me home. And he said, son, no matter how bad it ever gets, you always have a place. But he said something else, too. He said, you know, it's time to move on. Can't let the past destroy you. Time to go forward. It's time to put this in your past and move toward a better future. You know, my father shared the same love as the father in our parable today. He welcomed me home. And all of us sitting here know who the father in the parable for today really is. It's this man. That's our real father. That's our father up there, the one that loves us, that was crucified, that died, that rose, that was hung on a cross, that died for us, so we can have everlasting life. We have two fathers. We have earthly fathers, and we have our heavenly father that you just saw. The son does not get a chance to finish his speech that he had rehearsed. His father is eager to move forward. He wants to forget about it. He wants to move on because he is so glad that his son is at home. He wants to have a feast. In verse 22, he tells his slaves to go bring in out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. It would have been nice if the story would have ended right there. But it didn't. Because the next part is the part that a lot of people deal with. And it's the sibling rivalry now takes place. How many of you have siblings? Anybody ever have rivalries with your siblings? Gory's back there shaking his head no, which I know better than that. We all had rivals of some sort with our siblings. Now the oldest son of the two approaches the house. He sees this dancing. He hears this music. He wants to know what's going on. He gets upset because he sees his brother. And he starts talking to his father. And his father replies, your brother has come. And one of the servants says, your brother has come and killed, your father's killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound. Verse 28 says, then he became angry and he refused to go in the house. Does that sound like our siblings sometimes? It can. His father came out and began to plead with him, But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, never given you any trouble, but you've never even given me a young goat so that I might celebrate my friends. But when this son of yours comes back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." And then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." And that's what this man right here says to us. The very same thing. You're mine forever if you will be. This is really a parable about the forgiving father as much as it is about the two sons. Today we celebrate, as I said, our earthly fathers. You know, and I hate to say it, but all earthly fathers sometimes are not good. I've had friends that had fathers that they didn't even know or didn't really care anything about them. But this father and this father right here and our earthly fathers that do love and care. The parable teaches us that God is waiting and willing to forgive. He wants to forgive us if we, anytime, in any place, that we will repent. He's in the forgiving mode all the time. He's ready to move on. His love is unconditional. He stands ready to forgive. And we can be assured that God forgives us. He tells us this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 19. "If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God forgives and forgets and loves us and wants us to move on and wants us to move on with our lives. Next Sunday, we're going to receive a new senior pastor. And the next Sunday, we're going to receive a new associate pastor. And I know some have been upset about Denny leaving and Ashley leaving, and that's understandable. Sometimes when you have congregations that have lots of people from other denominations, they don't fully understand the itinerant system of pastors moving around. You know, I think we've been very blessed of not having a lot of moving. I grew up in a church, you talk about moving. I told Becca this at annual conference the other day. My home church had 11 pastors in 21 years. We had two for 6 months. That's not too good. You're not able to build stability and grow. But we have a great opportunity starting next week. You know, we can look around, we can see that maybe some of our attendance has decreased, and it's always easy to blame certain people, to blame pastors, but I'm speaking to you, the laity, just like me. We all have responsibility to lead, to love, to reach out to others, and I ask that we put the past behind, whatever it might be, hurt feelings, mean words, whatever. God's willing to move on. We need to be willing to move on. And we need to move on and be the church that God would have us to be to reach people in Hall's Crossroads. I'm going to give an invitation in a second, and I'm going to give a secondary to what I would normally give. I'm going to ask if you feel led to do this, that you'll come down here during the last song and that you'll kneel and pray, just pray for a few minutes for your church. Change is never easy, but pray for our church. Pray for your church. Pray for ourselves. and think about all the blessings that God has given to each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you love us with an everlasting love. We thank you for the fathers this day, not only our earthly fathers, but our Heavenly Father, Lord, that forgives us and loves us. Lord, thank you for this church, the ministry that it's had in this community. And Lord, I pray that we would move forward and do great things for you, to glorify you and your kingdom in the days, the months, and the years ahead. Lord, we pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. My invitation, if you're here this morning and you've never become a follower of Jesus, you have the opportunity to do that. If you'd like to speak to me about church membership, come and do that. But like I said, I want to offer you the opportunity, if you feel led, to come down here and pray for our church this morning. Sarah, if you'd lead us.